Welcome back to the Brainstorming Basketball Podcast, joined again by Harrison Liao, the second or the third. I'm not sure. We just found out. What did we find out right now, Harry?
I'm the first. I'm the alpha. Yeah, we found out that Gary Payton, the third is actually Gary Payton the second. And this is like one of those Berenstain Bears things where, you know, it was very obvious that the truth was just not revealed.
And Yosef Nasser, go ahead, Yosef. Looks like you have something.
Fun facts for you. Hall of Famer Gary Payton has a son named Gary Payton the second and has a son named Gary Payton Jr. Look it up. I'm not making it up. It's true.
Wait, are you serious?
That is incredible. Wow. What a way to start the podcast. So we just watched the Warriors, led by Gary Payton the second, defeat the Hornets. The Hornets are a fun team that has an exciting rookie that they refuse to play in James Bouknight. I don't know why, but that's the topic of this pod right here, is the rookie class and how incredible it's been. I want to start with you, Yos. What's been the most revealing thing that you've noticed about a rookie or the rookies in general?
I think the most revealing thing is that Franz Wagner is doing what I've wanted Ben Simmons to do for the past 5 or 6 years. So the fact that a player can come in and be that versatile, put the ball on the floor, he yammed on a guy in a recent game. I don't know if you saw it. Defensively, he always seems a step ahead. And offensively, he also seems like he sees the game ahead of everybody else. So I think that people are going to talk about Mobley and Barnes. Those were the guys who I would have as the first and best and second best rookies in this class. But I'm putting Franz number three. I've been very impressed by what I've seen. And I don't know if the general public views him as, you know, a top three rookie, but that's what he's been to me.
Harry, what's your main rookie takeaway so far?
My main takeaway is that scouting has gotten pretty good. Like, if you look at this top, if you look at this, like, this lottery and you just go down the list, every single one of these guys has already hit a moderate to very significant return for their teams. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like teams know what type of player they need now. Like, they're drafting for talent. But I look at someone like Chris Duarte, who's been huge for Indiana, who I think without him would really be absolutely boned, because there's just something stinky in that water over there. Yeah. But, like, I feel like someone like Duarte excels in that position, but on another team – he might not. So I feel like, one, this draft was like very fortuitous for like a lot of teams and just who ended up with them. I feel like if you looked at a lot of their boards, it would have been like the player that they got would have been like their number one choice. But the second
scouting. And you talk about the importance of scouting. I mean, think about two of the most second guess picks in the lottery. I mean, you look at Scotty Barnes over Jalen Suggs, raised eyebrows, but the Raptors saw something, and we're seeing it right now. And then a few picks later, people thought Kuminga would go at 6 to Oklahoma City. He was the highest upside prospect. But Giddy is proving that they saw something in him that's a very real thing. His size and his passing is incredible. These are two teams that were maybe scoffed at second guess for making these decisions. But, you know, maybe we're the ones who needs to be scoffed at if, you know, we go by that consensus, because – both Barnes and Giddy have some of the highest upside in this draft.
Unbelievable how good everybody's been. I want to go round table right now. We're not going to do a full redraft, just the number one pick. We'll do top three. Yos, you kind of hinted at yours, but let's go number one first. Harry, who would be your number one pick if we could redraft right now? Would it still be Cade or somebody else?
Well, you know, we did a podcast actually on this show, and we did our mock draft. Do you guys remember?
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with the exact same order that I did before.
Wow. Well, what was number one? Refresh.
I think it was Mobley. Yeah, I guess I'll just go Mobley. I mean, second was Jalen Green. You know what? Yeah, no, screw it. Give me Jalen Green at two, anyways. It's fine.
Mobley, Jalen Green. Why don't we just get your three then as well? Who would be three?
Do I go Scotty at three? I guess you kind of have to. He's so versatile, and he's just all arms and heart, and I don't know. He just seems like a joy to play with.
That's a great way to put it, a joy to play with. Yos, what's your top three?
So the three I gave you was my three right now, and looking forward, I think that it's based on what we've seen and what we can expect to see, based on what these guys have shown, I think Evan Mobley and Scottie Barnes are 1-2 in some order, and I think I would go Mobley, Barnes. Now, you can say, are either of those guys closers in the fourth quarter, ball dominant players in the fourth quarter? Is that the level of MVP caliber superstar? Or are we getting a tier below that? So with the third spot, you know, Cade has been concerning with, you know, the two games that we saw, but it's super early. We get that. We're not going to write him off. You've got Cade, you've got my guy, Franz Wagner, who I think, look, let's not sleep on his upside. I think people kind of pigeonholed him because he was good at everything as just, you know, a very good role player. Like, I think this kid has a chance to make all-star games with what he's flashed. So let's not sleep on him. But I still think that Jalen Green, when he fills out, he's so skinny, and it's pronounced when you watch him out there on the court. And he is kind of like – the term I like to use is someone who's like a papa shot, like, you know, shooter, like Kobe White in a good way, right? A papa shot shooter. Like Jalen Green, a little bit the same thing. Without really feeling the game, I think the things that he's weak at, he's going to have the ability to progress over the course of his career to the point where he could be a 25, 30-point scorer. So I'll still go, but Cade, you know, it's tough. So it's like we're still in a place where this stuff is still up in the air, but let me go Jalen Green with what we've seen, number three.
I'm going to go with the same as you, Yost. Mobley, Barnes, Green. The interesting thing is with Green is the fact that he doesn't really have a true point guard yet to make life easier on him. KPJ has been struggling to take care of the ball and to run offense for Houston. The thing that, Harry, you said about Barnes, about how much of a joy he seems to play with, I don't think there's any wrong order for those three. Or, you know, they're like Franz is great. Giddy is one of my favorites. There's just, this class is ridiculous. And of course we have to do this because it's tradition on this pod, but 1 to 10 scale right now, Cade concern meter. Harry, what are we at?
Dude, crank that, Soldier Boy. Give me 11, man.
Oh my God.
Zero explosiveness. He's a streaky shooter. He's not an NBA level, elite level NBA athlete to me to cover up for what I think is a low ceiling. There, I said it. I'm sorry. Wow. I'm not sorry.
Yost?
There are sirens going on in the background. This is like actually everything is fine meme, like right here, like in my apartment building. I'm joking about it. My concern level would be like a 4. Not yet. And the reason is because he's always going to have great NBA size. With what he lacks for athleticism, he's going to have that size. And some of the shots that he's missing, I think that he can make it. I think has the touch to make some of these shots. Is he going to be the high-level superstar? It's going to be super tough. He's going to have to be a ridiculous shot maker and have everything kind of come off of that because the athleticism relative to other NBA players isn't there. But I still think he has a high floor. I think that he is going to end up being a starter. He's on a terrible team with no help, absolutely no help. And I think if Cade had shooters and dynamic rollers around him and maybe a point guard he could kind of play off of, that's not Killian Hayes. I think we would have a much different outlook. It's like, okay, Cade's pretty good. He's doing a lot of good things. He's missing shots right now. I think some of those shots will go. And there's still long-term concerns about, you know, what kind of finisher at the rim is he going to be.
Let me ask you a question, though. This might be better than a panic meter. You guys are both the GMs right now. Josh Giddey and Cade Cunningham are on the board. You can only take one. Harry, who are you taking?
This is such a ridiculous podcast to do because, like, these guys have played, what, 8 games?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's we're putting we're putting you to the test right here. Go ahead.
No, yes, honestly, it is ridiculous. This is my favorite sport. Dude, you know, yeah, give me Giddey. I'm not backing off of this. Wow. I also just love Giddey. It's not just that I think Cade is a bust. I think Giddey, the hair, the swagger, you know, like, he had this play the other night where he stopped to, like, flip his hair and then did some cool move. I think it was against the Clippers or something. Dude, fuck yeah. Give me Josh Giddey all the way.
Yost, between those two.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not gonna. Harry just said, like, I want to like all these guys. I want everybody to be a success story. I want everybody to write their legacy. But like Harry said, small sample size. I'm still going to go with Cade, and I'm willing to be wrong. I had Cade number one. Right now I'm acknowledging Mobley and Scotty Barnes. You'd rather go forward with them and perhaps even a Franz Wagner. So, you know, I'm willing to adapt as we get new information, but, you know, I think I would still default to Cade over Giddey. I think that Cade can hit some of the shots that he's missing. And, you know, when he's doing that, it's a much different picture.
Is Cade in the worst possible situation for him at this stage?
Unequivocally.
Most number one picks are, though.
Yeah, that's true.
This is especially bad. Like, he's got absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that's bad.
Like,
what happened to Jeremy Grant? I thought this guy was a star.
Yeah.
Jeremy Grant's good. He's got Jeremy Grant. But it's like, it's a tough spot to put both of those guys in.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Okay, Armand was like, you guys want to do a rookie pod? It has to be short. We're like, yeah, cool. How have we gotten this far in a rookie pod on Armand's podcast without talking about Delano Banton, dude?
I was actually going to get there.
I didn't mean to jump the shark.
No, you're good. I had one question before we get to kind of the underrated rookies. Is overall thoughts on Jalen Suggs so far? How are we feeling about Suggs?
I'm still in. I just think he plays so hard, and it's like, even if he doesn't have the all-star ceiling that some may have projected for him, like, I think a Marcus Smart-style combo guard is, like, very worst-case scenario, and you can win with guys like that. Initially, I was concerned about the fit of Cole and Jalen Suggs, but I think if they work at it and, you know, Franz continues to develop, I mean, Armand, you were talking about the Magic having a better outlook than we looked at the beginning of the season, and you start seeing, okay, Cole's a real player. Jalen has work to do. You know, the explosiveness, the finishing, you know, hasn't manifested itself necessarily at the NBA level, but the defense is there. And if he hits shots, he's a good player. Franz Wagner, we've already talked about him. Wendell Carter Jr., Mo Bamba, like.
Yeah, boy, I was waiting for you to say that.
I'm not going to go there.
No, do it.
This Magic team has a brighter outlook. It's because, like Harry said at the beginning, scouting has gotten to the point where these guys are better. And I think the talent that we've seen, the talent boom we've seen in recent years since the 2017 draft, 2018 draft,
ridiculous.
With Luka, like, guys, there are drafts like 2006, 2000, 2010, where you look at it at the end of these guys' careers, they're like 7 to 8 guys who make an impact. We're getting 20, 30 guys year after year after year. And this year looks to be no different. So I don't know what your original question is, Armand.
It was about Suggs.
Wait, that's a great segue, though. That's a great segue into the best surprises, because Yost is talking about how deep the draft is.
Let me get – there are so many of them. Let's get two from each of us. Harry, go ahead.
Okay. Wait, I got one.
You got two, so go give
both. Okay. I'll do the first one you're going to like, dude. It's Jericho Sims, man. I think he was like the third to last – yeah, he's the third to last pick in the draft. He's not playing much right now, but, like, when he does play, the guy is a fucking force, man. Like, I actually think he's got good role instincts. Like, he knows – and by that, I just mean, like, he knows kind of what to do already as somebody who's not going to be a star, which I think is rare for rookies to kind of have that maturity. Like, he already knows exactly what he's out there for. And the second one, I'm not going to take Banton from you because, you know, come on now. Give me – I'm going to take one from Armand. Ayo Dosunmu. Dude, this kid is good, man. He's playing legit minutes for a semi-legit Bulls team. You know, I know this is semi-controversial amongst these parts.
He's legitimate, especially on the defensive end. He's a shutdown – type of player on that end. Yost, who are your two?
These are two guys who are under the radar but who have made an impression.
Yes.
Herb Jones? I mean, like, the Pelicans aren't good, but he's flashed some interesting defensive tools, defensive potential. I like him. And then let me make sure I'm looking at this draft. I mean, Delano, obviously, I'm in Nebraska right now. It was kind of considered like – it was an eye raiser when he entered the draft. It's like, is this guy making the right choice? But he's got some stuff to him, man. Like, you know, defensively, he's an absolute menace all over the place. He can handle the ball. If that shot comes around, like, this could be a high-level starter for a long time. So I like him. And then maybe a guy we didn't mention. I think Jeremiah Robinson is someone who's been impressive in his pro readiness. Like it just seems like he's out there and he's contributing to a horrible Oklahoma City team, but I think they might have found themselves a role player for the future as well. So these aren't splashy guys. I'm as interested in some of these guys who we, like you were talking about James Bouknight earlier and why he's not playing. Like there's still gifts to be unwrapped here. I mean,
oh yeah.
James Bouknight. How about Cam Thomas, who was ripping it up in the preseason and summer league? We haven't really seen him. Kuminga, Anthony Slater of The Athletic put some highlights of him in the G League, and, you know, he flashed some interesting tools. Think about Jaden Springer. I'm just kidding. I'm not excited about Jaden Springer. But the point is that there are plenty of guys who haven't gotten playing time yet and, you know, are exciting player. Josh Primo, like, you know, there's still, like, 5 to 10 guys who might, you know, crack that level. Davion Mitchell plays, and he's pretty good.
He's good. Dude, he played crunch time tonight. He can play.
Yeah, he can play. Like,
this is the first time we've mentioned him. Like,
yeah,
that's how deep this rookie class is.
It's incredible. And
it's cool. We don't know what kind of superstar-level talent we're going to get, but we know that we're going to get a lot of good players, and I think 3, 4, 5 all-stars.
Yeah, I totally agree with all that. Another guy I would throw in that category of, like, he's just buried on that team is Jalen Johnson, because every time it's like garbage time, he has a highlight every garbage time of an Atlanta game. But he's not one of my two. My two is Bones Highland, he's cracking the closing rotation for the Nuggets, and that's a contender. And that's
So fun listening to the crowd erupt when Bones checks in the game.
He has a swag about him. Like, he has that swag, that charisma, that self-confidence. I actually think he's going to be, like, a big part of their team this year. Out of all the rookies, like, this year, in terms of helping late in the playoffs, I think that's probably the only one, mostly because a lot of them are on mediocre to bad teams, obviously. But I think Bones is going to be the most impactful this season. And then the other one, Let's go with Şengün. Şengün is like he's a mixed bag of all sorts of junk, but he just has this, like, the heart of a lion, and it's not always great. It's looks so uncoordinated.
What do you mean, dude? He's got some skills.
He's got skills for sure. It just looks a little frantic and chaotic at times, but he's young, and I think he's gonna be fine. Like, I think he's gonna be a solid player. And the heart that he plays with is really what stands out to me.
Harry, I'm convinced that Armand wanted to say Sandro Mamusculashvili, but didn't know how to pronounce it, which is why he went with Şengün. He was telling about this kid at Seton Hall, and he's making an impact for the Bucks in his minutes. He stands out.
Mamusculashvili.
Mamusculashvili.
That's impressive.
He's interesting as well. If we're going to go
saying that like on Antetokounmpo a few years from now,
exactly.
Science.
If we're going to go deep diving though, like really, really deep diving, I know this is really random, but we were talking about this in a group chat today about how the Pistons beef stew at center. And you have a guy with the 52nd pick, Luka Garza, just sitting on your bench. When is it time to look in that bag? I would like to see that. I know that's completely off topic, but if we're gonna deep dive, let's go get some Garza minutes while we're at it.
Can we really do Garza minutes on a 20-minute podcast? You have the allocated the fucking segment time for that?
Listen, yeah, we did say this was gonna be a shorter pod, so because of that, unfortunately, we're gonna get some final thoughts here. I want to know if there's anybody besides Cunningham that, obviously 8 games in or so, this is ridiculous to say, but that we might be a little bit concerned about already. Is there anybody? I have one if you guys don't.
Let's hear yours.
Mine is Usman Garuba. I don't know if he's an NBA player, and he hasn't gotten much of an opportunity, but every time he does, he's going to get opportunity because the Rockets are going to be horrible. But every time he plays, I'm just like, I don't really know if it's going to translate to NBA, to anything NBA related. I hope he does, because I was really high on him coming into the draft, but it's just hasn't panned out so far for him. Do you guys have
anything? Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, to me, it has to be Suggs, not to be all like mainstream media-y, but it's like, I just don't really like, I mean, I was skeptical on him before the draft too. You can roll the tape. I just don't really understand like what he does at an elite level. And if he doesn't, then he's just kind of, you know, when being a combo guard used to be like a bad thing,
yeah.
Or being any type of tweener used to be like not an ideal thing from like an NBA team building perspective. I feel like Suggs is that he has the worst of both worlds, of being like a little too big and lead footed for like the super quick Steph Currys and John Morants of the world, but he's a little bit too small, I think, to really match up against, like, you know, hopefully someone like Clay comes back soon, but I can't really see him guarding that type either. And then if on offense, he's not a very dynamic ball handler, like it looks a little loose sometimes. So I'm like, okay, like if you're not a point guard, but you also can't really score the ball that well, like, I don't know. I just don't really know exactly what he is going to be. And it leaves me uncomfortable in a way it doesn't for a lot of the other topics.
I like that analysis a lot. He's lucky he has Wendell Carter Jr. to take the offensive pressure off him. Yost, go ahead.
On Suggs, like I said, like even if his floor is like a Marcus Smart, like I think that's a starting level or a rotation level player. Like even if we have to adjust our expectations to like, oh, this guy can be a potential all-star point guard. It's like, you know, this guy's a pretty good starter. And I think he's got, you know, based on what's been said about him, the work ethic, the type of drive to like fix all of those areas to compensate for some of the things that you rightly mentioned. I think he can tighten his handle. I think that he can develop his jumper. And if he does those things, I mean, he's got great defensive tools and, you know, he's flashed that already. But my guy, listen, I hope Corey Kispert breaks Stephen Curry, all of Stephen Curry's records. But it's like, if the guy's not going to hit shots, and what else is he bringing to the table? That makes me nervous for the 15th overall pick and wondering if the Wiz should have taken a swing at a Jalen Johnson or whatever. Because, like, this is a guy who is billed as one of the best shooters, but it's like getting shots off. That's a yeah. skill in and of itself that the best shooters have to have. And it's like, Buckets is the best shooter I've seen, Armani Buckets, from 35 foot range. But like sometimes you get the games and like people don't trust it. Like those shots are tough to come by. People are playing him for that shot, and then he's got to do different things. And I see Corey Kispert, like, you know, he did it in Gonzaga, right? And he put up ridiculous shooting numbers, but I'm a little bit concerned. So he would be my guy. I think overall this is a very good class though.
Yeah.
I completely agree. Before we get out of here, because it's been too long, what is the number one thing that you're excited about in, let's just say, like the next week, of just anything NBA related, player, team, something that's been on your mind that you want to get off your chest? Harry's looking at me perplexed. Harry, you got like a million of these. This is not going to be that hard. Yost, do you have anything in mind that
I do. And it's a bit selfish of me, I'm not going to lie, because I told myself that, you know, I was not going to put a lot of stock, a lot of emotion in the Sixers, and they're slowly reeling me in. They're slowly reeling me back in, because I think that we have a lot of good players. We don't have the flashy superstars, like we don't have the super team or whatever. We've got Joel Embiid. We've got Andre Drummond coming off the bench, a guy who I panned. And he's basically our backup, you know, playmaker. And we've got a bunch of scoring guards who can attack the bucket. And we've got role players who have taken the next step. You know, Furkan Korkmaz, Fatih Stiebel is an absolute menace on defense. I like Maxey's development. I think he can continue to get better. Seth is a low-key. He's a stealth superstar, man. Like, he's a guy who carries our offense for stretches. I mean, it's having a career-best year. And what can we get for Ben Simmons? He doesn't want to play with us, right? But that we can get something. We can get CJ McCollum. We can get Franz Wagner. We can get something of value for this guy. And that something of value might be able to help this team and push it close to a Miami. Because we all know that Miami has been the best team in the league thus far. But when you have Joel Embiid, it doesn't feel like you're that far off.
Yeah.
Like the guys that we have. So that's what I'm going to be watching for this the rest of the season. What Harry, can we do for Ben Simmons?
Before you go, Harry, I want to pose mine because it's actually in question form. The Cavs, right? Cleveland, one of the most electric teams in the league. Are they better than the Celtics? Like, straight up, are they better than Boston right now?
Yeah, have to be.
Wow.
Dude, I got to show you this message my one of my friends here sent me about, like, the state of the Celtics. He's like, dude, it was just one line. He's like, I would entertain Tatum offers, like, right now.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but
it's dark. It's dark.
It's dark times. Dark times. That mine is basically the Cavs and how exciting they've been, especially Jared Allen. I mean, he's been a revelation this season. Harry, what's yours?
So I had to check the date of this. That's why I was Googling in the background. I wasn't looking up anything shady, guys. I promise. But in 6 days, the reigning NBA champions, the Milwaukee Bucks, are going to play at Madison Square Garden against the New York Knicks. And that's going to be a fucking fun-ass game, and I'm really excited to watch it, plain and simple.
By the way,
Giannis is the best player in the league.
He's shooting like 30% now from three on like four or five attempts a game.
His shooting – that's like – the confidence –
that's like not that bad. That's below average, but it's like not that bad.
The confidence with what he's shooting, how quickly he's pulling that trigger, and from the mid-range he's got fadeaways and stuff like that, and people are like, holy crap. Like,
have you seen his stats too? He's like 25, 11, and like 6 right now or something.
I mean, Giannis was the MVP the 2 years before Jokic won it, and people were like, is he really the best player in the league? Like, I think that he's actually that dude this year, and he knows it.
So, just to touch on Harry's the Knicks-Bucks game coming up. So the Knicks, I don't mean to do this at the end and ruin the parade, but they're 5-1. Now they're 5-3.
5-2.
Normal.
Or 5-3, yeah.
Hey, completely normal. Great team. I'm not saying anything bad, but the next three are in Milwaukee, home Cleveland, in Philly. So let's say 2-1. You're 6-5. New York as a city.
Wait, is it in Milwaukee? Sorry.
No, they play in Milwaukee, and then you're correct. In a week, they're going to be home.
Oh, yeah.
So they get them twice in the next week. And we know New York City is a little bit up and down in terms of their emotions and their faith and their sports teams. So the tone of next week's podcast talking about the Knicks will be interesting because it could be a very different – by the way, including my Bulls, we might have a whole different – people are calling us contender this, contender that. I'm like, contending.
We both lost tonight.
I mean, yeah, that we should have led the pod with that. The Sixers beat the hell out of us tonight. You know what? Last thing before we get out of here, all three of us, Knicks, Bulls, Sixers, power ranking.
If you asked me like 2 days ago, I'd say Harry had the best best team on the pod, and now I'm going to say Joseph has the best team on the pod.
If you're just going, if it's a what have you done for me lately type of league,
in the moment.
I mean, the Sixers got a dub against the Bulls, and the Knicks fucking laid an egg, so.
The Bulls are 0-2 against you guys.
That's true. Oh, my God, that's true. What the fuck?
And you know what? Out of all our teams, Embiid is just by far, I think, I mean – I shouldn't say by far, but he is easily
the best player.
And yeah, I would go Philly.
You don't think it's close between him and Randall?
No. You don't think DeMar DeRozan is about? DeMar DeRozan is like 26 points a game right now.
DeMar is playing incredibly. Vucevic, the panic meter, the panic button should be hit because he looks like he's. You know what? He looks like Pau Gasol when we got Pau.
Oh yeah,
and that's not a bad thing, but Pau is. Clearly, like, his best days were behind him. Yep. That's kind of how I feel. And that's how we're going to wrap this pod with unfortunate Bulls. Not propaganda. What's the opposite of propaganda?
Slander?
Bull slander. They deserve it, though, because they've been getting way too much. They've been reading their press clippings for the whole season. Is there anything else before we wrap this up?
Just speaking of rap, Tyler Herro is having a very nice season. I think he's taking the next step.
Agreed. Harrison.
I'm hitting the panic meter on everybody, dude.
Just
that's all I gotta
slam the panic button on everybody. All right, guys, we gotta do this more often. Timmy, shout out Timmy. We know you made it this far, buddy. Good Timbo. Job. And until next time, we are out of here.